Thank you, Chris. So, as Chris has explained, this is actually Jenny's talk, and I'm going to do it. So I need a lot of imagination to be used by you lot, please. So you've got to try and imagine this is Jenny speaking. Actually, it's not too difficult for me to talk this talk. First of all, it's wonderful. I loved it when I read it first, and I really enjoy it. Hopefully, I'm going to do it justice. Second of all, I pretty much agree with absolutely everything she says, which is a good thing, isn't it? There are one or two places where I have adapted it slightly because it's in her voice, and I've said in third person, I've said Jenny or she. You'll notice those, but most of the time, I'll be saying I. It's me and Jenny both saying it. Brood of vipers is one of Jenny's favorite phrases in the Bible. I'm not sure what that tells us about Jenny, but I actually like it too, so there you go. But what the heck is going on here? I'm quite a black and white person. I'm in or I'm out. And if I'm in, I'm all in. I recognize the shades of gray, of course, but I have to work to do this. I think that might be why I absolutely love John the Baptist. He was all in. He was passionate about Jesus and the need for people to recognize their need of him. A quick potted history on the person of John the Baptist for those who may not know. John the Baptist was an itinerant preacher active in the area of the Jordan River in the early 1st century AD. He is also known as John the Forerunner in Christianity, John the Immerser in some Baptist Christian traditions, and the prophet Yahya in Islam. He is sometimes alternatively referred to as John the Baptizer. He is considered to be a prophet of God by all these faiths and denominations, and is honored as a saint in many Christian denominations. John anticipated a messianic figure greater than himself. Jesus himself identifies John as Elijah who is to come. According to the Gospel of Luke, John and Jesus were relatives. And some scholars maintain that John belonged to the Essenes, a semi-ascetic Jewish sect. John used baptism as the central symbol of his pre-messianic movement. John baptized Jesus. And several New Testament accounts report that some of Jesus' earlier followers had previously been followers of John. John was sentenced to death and subsequently beheaded by Herod Antipas, sometime around AD 30, after John rebuked him for divorcing his wife and then unlawfully wedding Herodias, the wife of his brother, Herod Philip I. So that's John. So what was John's message? The fiery prophet warns some of the Jews not to take it for granted. Just because they come from godly stock, having Abraham as their father, that they will be automatically accepted by God. We can't be Christians only by association, or ride on the back of godly parents or grandparents, but we must each take our own responsibility before God for our own relationship with him. In the same way, the Jews of the day couldn't take their race as a ticket to live just by rules, but they needed to come into a living relationship with Jesus. One of Jenny's favorite phrases from the Alpha course is, walking into a McDonald's does not make you a hamburger. In the same way, we may come from a Christian family, we may have years of church attendance under our belt, but it's our hearts the Lord wants. He doesn't want our religiosity or our hoop jumping. He wants us in all our glorious mess. John wasn't calling the crowd vipers because they were sinners. He was deeply aware of his own sin. He was calling them vipers because they were turning away from God. He doesn't want our perfection. He wants us. And that changes us. That must cause a turning around in us. So the heart cry of God the Father comes first, then the repentance and the turning around, and then the transformation within us. John, having encountered this, screams from the rooftops, "He's this way. Come, believe, be baptized. Then maybe you brood of vipers will behave." You may be familiar with the belong, believe, behave model of church. It's one Jenny and I subscribe to. Too many churches for too many years operate this model in reverse. If you behave, then you might be allowed to believe. Then if you behave and believe, then you'll be allowed to belong to us. This literally makes Jenny's skin crawl, mine too. That's not what we saw in Jesus, and John knew it. John didn't start his ministry in the temple with the religious people, the ones who behaved. He was to be found out in the wilderness with the wildlings and those who behaved like vipers. In our viper-like state, we are loved. The love came first. We belong. We can choose not to. We can walk away. That door is open to us. But the love and the sense of belonging is there should we choose it. As you may know, or you may not or may know, Jenny's childhood experiences of church weren't great. She recalls one Sunday her mother had been approached by an older lady who had met her on a number of occasions, and she said to Jenny's mum, "Oh, just visiting, are we?" The clear implication that she didn't attend enough, and therefore she was unknown and unloved. In reality, they attended as much as they were able. Jenny's mother had a very demanding, intense job and two young children to look after. The experience, though, was alienating, and the message received was that you don't meet the requirements for belonging to this church. Again, skin crawling. As we sense our belonging, so we begin to believe that perhaps there is something in this. Why does that work? Because when you are loved without question or judgment, you encounter the grace of God. When Jenny did the Alpha course, she says, she went out of her way to make them dislike her so she could prove herself right. She would be judged and she would be rejected, and that's what she wanted. But even when she rolled in drunk, they didn't bat an eyelid. And the believing came as the walls came down. When the defences are up, we want proofs. I do believe the Christian faith to be reasonable and the facts to stand up. But as the walls come down, through the experience of belonging to a family, so we are open to a personal encounter, as well as just facts. And ultimately, no amount of proof will satisfy anyway. It is an encounter with the risen Jesus that we need. The study of Jesus, what he said and did, and who he was, utterly enriches this experience. But it is the experience itself that we need. Jenny doesn't want to read books about her husband. She wants to sit down and eat a meal with him. She wants to talk with him and listen to what he has to say, not just read about him in the paper. It's the same with Jesus. Yes, press into the things of faith, study the scriptures and theology, and so your love of the Lord will grow. But the experience has to happen, or it's all head knowledge. As that encounter comes, so does the behaving. Because with the Spirit of God living within us, all things are possible. There is nothing that makes my heart break more often than when I hear people joke about bursting into flames as they walk through the church door. I and Jenny, we have to bite our tongues hard. It comes across as a joke. But there is part of them, part of those people out there, and possibly people in here, who associate church first with judgment. That, first and foremost. There is judgment, yes. It's all on Jesus, who took the sin and death that we deserve for us. It is all taken from us by Jesus. Does the Lord want us to radically alter our lives and follow him? Of course. But we can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit, alive and at work within us. We belong first, says Jenny. Then we believe, then we behave. The stunning Christmas carol, In the Bleak Midwinter, by Christina Rossetti, has some wisdom on this topic, which I wish to close with. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him. I give my heart. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you that in you we belong. Help us to have faith and believe in you and your promises that are true, and by your Spirit enable us to live according to your plan for our lives, to the glory of your name. Amen. Thank you.